Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Now Bali podcast. I'm your host Eddie Spears and I'm excited to share that this is actually our 10th podcast episode. So if you've been listening since day one, thank you so much for your support and keeping us going as we embark on this journey into the depths of Balinese culture and life. Speaking of life, that's today's subject. Specifically, what are the goals of life according to Balinese Hindus? All around us, we see ceremonies of all kinds, from the daily Chanang offerings, to temple ceremonies, to cremation ceremonies, and there are ceremonies that are focused on the individual's own needs as well. They are all part of a complex ecosystem of these life goals. They are all part of the soul's journey to achieve a better afterlife and reincarnation, or if possible, moksha, ultimate enlightenment. Whilst many of these ceremonies and rites of passage may be foreign to us, the philosophies behind them and the reasoning behind them can be applied to our own lives, the ideal journey of the human being, especially spiritually. What is our path? What are our goals in life? What must be done to be the best versions of ourselves? Learning from the Balinese Hindu philosophy can help at least answer a fraction of life's biggest questions. So I hope you are able to take something away from today's episode. As always, a big thank you to Genesis Creative Center in Brawa for hosting us in their music studio, without whom we would not have the amazing quality of podcast that you all enjoy. So, without further delay, on with the show. As always, Balinese beliefs and their way of life offer us outsiders an interesting perspective on how we live or approach our own lives. For the Hindu, and not just Balinese, but all Hindu, the goals of life are called the Purusa Artha. In Sanskrit, this literally means the object of human pursuit. There are four Purusa Artha in Hindu belief, but here in Bali, there are layers to achieve this. It is these layers that make this subject so incredibly complex. This is the first layer. The second layer would be the Pancha Yajna, five sacrifices or offerings. I would liken these to commandments, maybe. Within these five sacrifices are the rites and actions we must do to achieve the layers above. I would liken these to prayers and baptisms, for example. Once again, the goal of not only human life, but our very soul is to achieve moksha, ultimate enlightenment, when our soul, Bhuvana Alit, the microcosm, can become one with the universe, Bhuvana Agung, the macrocosm. Moksha is the last of the life goals, or Purusa Artha. The other three are Dharma, Artha, and Kama, words you may have heard before. Dharma refers to balance and is at the very center of Hindu philosophy. It governs what is harmony and therefore what karma, or actions, must be completed to achieve balance. Each person has a duty in keeping order in the universe. This manifests in many ways. Then we have Artha, which can be translated as prosperity. This can be misinterpreted as pure materialism, but should be seen as finding a means to an end. Artha enables us to live fully and also do what is required spiritually. More on this later. Finally, we have Kama, which you recognize from the ever-famous Kama Sutra. It is the nature of desire, which is seen as an important part of enjoying the offerings of life, the value of life, and understanding its impermanence. It has often been bastardized to be something as purely erotic. But it goes beyond this, and kama can be desire, love, passion, all the things that give life meaning. Perhaps on their own, artha and kama seem sinful and just basic vices. But what's important is that both of these must be done in accordance to dharma and with consideration of dharma, considering the limits of what is right. Yes, you can acquire wealth and better yourself, but not to the point of greed. Not to the point where you can exploit others. Yes, you might have a desire for someone, but if they don't desire you, or if you are committed to another, make sure your actions or your karma are in line with what is right. All actions must create balance in the universe. So that is the first layer, the four goals of life. And to break this down, in Bali we have the second layer, the Pancha Yajna, basically the commandments that tell you what you need to do. These five sacrifices or offerings are as follows. The first is Deva Yajna, sacrifice to the gods, in which you promise to pray and offer your services. This includes committing to your daily offerings, joining full moon, temple, and auspicious day ceremonies. It includes practicing religious teachings. The next is Pitra Yajna, your sacrifice to spirits and ancestors. This means you must pay respects to those who came before you, for they gave us life, but also to our elders and parents. This means respecting their word, caring for them, and importantly, promising to carry out their cremation ceremony so that they may enter their next phase in life successfully. It is a cycle. Parents care for the children, and in return, the children promise to send their soul or Atma to the afterlife, and we can only hope that our children will do the same for us. The third is Risi Yajna, respecting the holy people and holy works. This can consist of helping the priestly, helping to build shrines and temples, contributing to the welfare of the religious structures. Fourth is the Manusa Yajna, the human offerings. This means the Balinese Hindu promise to complete the rites of passage that every human must go through. There are 13 in total, and this starts when the baby is still in the womb, right up to marriage. More on this later. Finally is the Bhuta Yajna, sacrifices for the negative forces, the Bhuta and Kala. Why? Well, as we've discussed in a previous episode, Bali is all about balance, and the negative forces must be given respect and offerings in order to placate them and allow harmony in the world. This also allows for humans to carry out their way of life in peace. This is done at all scales, from the daily Macharu offerings to the centennial Ekadasa Rudra ceremony for a giant universal cleansing held at Baisakhi Temple. So, that's the second layer. The third layer is the breaking down of each of the Pancha Yajna and committing to the actions required within them. All of these interlock together, guiding us in actions that help to create balance in the universe. The elements in each Pancha Yajna help us to achieve the four goals of Kama, Artha, and Dharma, and if all goes well, Moksha. For example, by following the rules of Deva Yajna, offerings to the gods, one is fulfilling their Dharma duties. But at the same time, striving to achieve our four goals can help us to achieve the Pancha Yajna. For example, achieving Artha, or wealth, in life gives one the means to create better ceremonies, elaborate cremations for parents, and perhaps even help to maintain a temple. As you may have seen in Bali, as the economy improves, the ceremonies become more and more elaborate. By having more, one can give more as well. The Manusya Yajna, or human rites of passage, are also important in helping one achieve the four goals of life. As mentioned, the first ceremony takes place around 6 months after conception, called the Pagadong Gadongan. This is done when the fetus takes a human form. It is a kind of purification for the baby and its life in the future. Following this are numerous ceremonies for the baby, including Kepuspengset, when the baby's umbilical cord falls off. It marks the moment when the physical connection to the baby's Kanda Empat, spiritual siblings that are the anchor to each person's life on earth, is broken, and the connection becomes purely spiritual. The Kanda Empat are complex too, and will require a longer explanation which I won't go into here. 12 days after the baby is born, another ceremony takes place, Nglapas Hawon. This is the first time the baby receives holy water, and is often when a Balian or shaman will determine which of the family's ancestors' soul has reincarnated into the newborn. After 3 months, the baby will receive its name during the Tilubulan, meaning 3 month ceremony. This will often be a large ceremony with a feast. Next is the Otonan, the Balinese birthday, held every 6 months following the Balinese calendar. The first Otanan is very significant, as this will be the first time the baby has even touched the ground. This moment marks the baby as a human, and thus the ceremony aims to give the child the spiritual strength that it needs in this world. Perhaps the most well-known rite of passage is the Mapandis or Matata, the teeth filing, usually done for adolescents. This crucially important rite includes the flattening of a person's canines, symbolic of animalistic behavior, and thus the removal of the sad ripu, or six negative characteristics of human life. These include lust, greed, anger, drunkenness, confusion, and jealousy, not dissimilar to Christianity's seven deadly sins. By doing this, one is less tempted and more likely to live by the rules of dharma, of virtue. It helps one to control their kama, or desires, and thus begin their focus on artha, or prosperity. So this is a good moment to give some chronology into how the Purusa Artha, or the four life goals, may play out in a human lifetime. When we are young, we are free and open to explore life, to enjoy our desires, or kama. Then, at the end of our adolescent life, with the filing of teeth, this signals the reduction of one's desires. One might get married, settle down, and thus focus on artha, prosperity. With prosperity, one can then contribute to their duties to gods, priests, parents, and their children. Thus three of the panchayajna, and also dharma. Paying for grand cremations, and giving parents a send-off they deserve, and giving children the best rites of passage money can buy. Then, when one has had their fill of kama, and they contributed enough with their artha, old age comes, and they can focus on the religious, the purely dharma, in hopes of achieving moksha. Okay, that is the life of a Balinese Hindu. You're probably thinking, how does this have anything to do with my life? Well, there are some key takeaways here that I think all of us, Hindu or not, religious or not, can apply to our own lives. Firstly, I love this chronology of the human life. Our youth, that's for desire, exploration, passion, exploring and enjoying the thrills of life, discovering what makes it meaningful. Our next stage, yes, we can have all of those things, but maybe at a smaller scale, and we can start to think of prosperity. Not for us, but so that we, in our later years, can actually give back to those who have given to us. Even in the Balinese ceremonies, there is a cycle of giving, with the understanding that others will look after us when we are in need. Parents will pay for otonans and matata ceremonies for their children to prepare them for this world. In return, the children will promise their parents great cremations to help find the best path out of this world and on to the next. The next part of that, yes, we can enjoy kama and strive for artha. But why not focus on the bigger things, beyond the material enjoyments of life? Even if you aren't religious, perhaps it is the wisdom of life. Is there something you can give to someone? Can you teach the virtues and life lessons you have learnt to someone? All in all, the first layer, the goals of life, of human virtue, of enjoying life, of finding a means for life, I think we can all agree that together they are a pretty good recipe for a pretty good life. And whether or not you believe in enlightenment or heaven, your moksha can simply be looking back on your deathbed and saying to yourself, "Damn, that was a pretty good ride." So, I hope you got something out of today's episode. Be it some knowledge of Balinese and Hindu beliefs, or maybe even some perspective on life. Honestly, the details that I could go into are very complex, and I think you are likely to get lost in a sea of Balinese words and terms if I dived deeper into the details. But I highly suggest you read further into some of these topics if you're interested. Very excited to share that our next episode will be an interview style. We will have Balinese art expert and writer Richard Horseman sharing his vast knowledge of the art world with us. So stay tuned for that episode. Please don't forget to follow us on Facebook or on Instagram, or share this with a friend you think might be interested to learn more about the Island of the Gods. This is Eddie Spears for the Now Bali podcast. See you next time.